This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. As the country wakes up, eyes are on Los Angeles, where protests over ICE roundups escalated all weekend long, especially after President Trump called up the National Guard. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
It has gone on all night, even at 2 o'clock in the morning. LAPD officers were reporting in that they were having rocks thrown at them and fireworks shot at them. There was some looting that went on overnight. While arrests were made, in many cases, all police could do was just keep pushing the crowd around downtown. People using everything from dumpsters to park benches as barricades as they battled the police, throwing concrete and fireworks at them.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the presence of the National Guard only made the situation worse. President Trump's ban on travel for people from 12 countries is now in effect. Seven countries are under a partial travel ban as well. Russia launching 479 drones at Ukraine in the biggest overnight drone attack of the three-year war. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Legislative Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have ended negotiations on the state budget. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Republicans are now officially crafting their own budget after walking out on negotiations with Governor Tony Evers. They've been in talks trying to come to an agreement on tax cuts, a priority for Republicans, and funding things like schools, child care centers, and universities, a priority for the governor. Republican State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
Unfortunately, those conversations have stopped. The spending really that the governor needs is just more than the state can afford, and it was getting to the point where it was about 3-1 compared to the tax cuts that we were looking at.
Wisconsin currently has a record $4.5 billion or so surplus, according to the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. Republicans have the majority, so now this budget is essentially in their hands. Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce.
We're going to see a budget that does very little to lower costs for working families. I think we're going to see a budget that fails our kids. We're going to see a budget that refuses to invest in our public universities at a really critical time. We're going to see a budget that turns a blind eye to relief for ordinary Wisconsinites. We're going to see a budget that exacerbates the child care crisis in the state.
Thursday, Republicans added more bonding authority to clean drinking water initiatives and $500,000 to a program to train more physicians. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Legislators are trying to finalize the budget by the end of the month. This week in La Crosse City government, there are seven committee meetings ahead of Thursday's Common Council meeting. Today, the Board of Public Works will consider approval of a resolution to allow the La Crosse School District to begin work at the Hogan Administrative Site for a new elementary school. A council planning session is set for tomorrow ahead of a long agenda Thursday for the Common Council, which includes voting on proposals to raise stormwater utility fees twice in the next 7 months. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
In golf, the team of Darren Clark and Thomas Bjorn, the winners at the American Family Championship at TPC Wisconsin, Steve Stricker's team in second place, but says he's looking at a possible MRI for some injuries. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, oil and gas industry expert Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global, will be here to talk about all things energy in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Mattenair on air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, June 9th, 2025. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is on the way. We'll talk to State Senator Chris Larson a little later on this hour as well. But first off, it is time once again for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Done statewide around the network, four times a day. You can either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers tickets, club level, great seats. And every time you enter, it puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a little vacation getaway in Wisconsin Dells or in Door County, some gas money to get you there as well. Each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So get that Civic Media app, places like Apple and Google, go to one of the stations on the app, and use the text button to send us the keyword. So here we go. For this hour, the prize is $100 cash, and the keyword is lawn, L-A-W-N, lawn, L-A-W-N. You have until the end of the hour to text that. Then you'll have new chances to play with new keywords at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. And again, this hour's keyword is lawn. $100 is the prize. But that pales in comparison to the prize we have here with the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot to give us the forecast for this week.
Hey.
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Much, much better this week. How are you guys doing? I missed you.
Well, great. We missed you too very much. But we welcome you back on a rainy day over here in the Chippewa Valley. And I guess we're not going to be talking drought this week at all.
No.
You know, I mean, if anything, maybe for a day tomorrow, but otherwise it's, what's the word I used on Friday? Unstable.
Unstable.
Yeah. Kind of has that because you just didn't know, is it going to rain here? Is it going to rain there? And that, is that kind of what we're facing here for a little while?
Unfortunately, yeah. We're going to try to figure out when we can get that lawn cut in between all of these chances for rain this week. So we've got a roller coaster of temperatures as well, spots of sunshine, chances for thunderstorms. So here's what's happening this morning. Right now, it is 48 degrees in Phillips. It is 59 degrees in West Bend. So we're in those upper 40s to low to mid 50s all across the state. There is sun shining in far southeast parts of the area, clouds far northwest, and it is raining right now into central Wisconsin here in Owosso as well, with a low pressure system overhead draping a cold front through the state. So it's going to be a damp and dreary day today with on and off light rain chances for a good chunk of the state this morning. Then it sparks back up and some small storms are possible later this afternoon, and they could still continue into this evening as well. So an on and off damp and dreary day, mid-50s far north to mid-60s far south. So still stuck in that cooler air. And as we go through tomorrow and Wednesday, a high pressure system starts to settle in. So we will start to dry things out. We will warm things up to the mid 60s far east tomorrow, mid 70s far west. And then we're going to continue that warm up to near 80 degrees on Wednesday before another low pressure system brings more wet weather for the rest of the week.
Basically, we've set the table for amazing growth of things.
Yes.
All the things that Kristen planted this year and all the landscaping is just going to grow like, well, I was going to say grow like weeds, but I spent the day weeding the landscaping. So no, the weeds don't get to grow, but everything else. And I like the way you put it about the lawns, because that's always one of those things, you know, you have weeks like that where you're like, can I go now? Can I go?
Right.
You know?
Can I squeeze this in before it rains again? Will I make it?
Is the grass dry enough before the next round comes in? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's going to be the problem this week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, otherwise wait till Sunday.
Okay. Kristen, are the boys taking care of the landscaping and the lawn adequately while you're, you know, working during the week?
I sure hope so. We've developed a strategy where I've asked them to send me a picture and then I make a judgment instead of just relying on their judgment. We'll see how this works.
On the lawn?
Yeah.
Did you put like a ruler in the ground or something so you could say, well, it's 3 1/4 inches.
Are they changing the mower?
Can't you just tell? Like, you know, you look at it, you see you have a pattern. It's like looking at a ballpark. You've got the pattern. If you start to lose the pattern, it's time to mow. Right, Rob? I know Rob's listening. Rob is Rob's expertise.
Yes, he is. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 53 with rain just west of me. Saturday, I had 2 yards to mow. Then my niece Elvie's graduation party and birthday Sunday. Tigerton had a 1/2 inch of rain. And when I went to church, my car, Molly, got a car wash while I was in church. He goes on to say that this weekend I watered the flowers for Tigerton Main Street. He also says, unfortunately, in my area over the weekend, we had a rash of mailboxes and road signs being knocked down and stolen, especially stop signs. It costs the county and township money to replace these things. Yeah, don't do that. Don't be a jerk. Rob says, it was great to see Brittany again. She is a Wisconsin legend, and so is Pat and Kristen. All three of you gave some wonderful birthday wishes. That was the highlight of my birthday.
Oh, Rob.
How nice is that? So thank you very much. And he says it's starting to rain again in the Tigerton area. So again, that's the theme this week. You know, we'll just be dodging these things in and out and do all right. So do you have much, Brittany, for, you know, flowers or landscaping or any green thumb activities?
I love to do that. I have a ton of plants inside, but I don't have a lot of green space outside to do so. So not this year, unfortunately, but I'm huge into trying to grow some veggies, the pretty flowers, anything. I love it.
Are you, Kristen, are you flowers or like veggies as well? Carrots and things, tomatoes.
Right now I just have a small garden box, but I'm actually a master gardener, so I've grown it all.
Wow.
She's a master gardener, folks.
Wow. I didn't know you were big time like that.
Jeepers. All right. Got to make a note. Start the garden segment with Master Gardener, Dr. Kristen Lyerly.
Garden Talk with Pat Kreitlow.
Oh, boy. What makes Sherry a happy camper, though, is that there on our back deck is basil and there's mint, because that girl loves a mint julep. And when you got, you know, when you're growing the mint yourself, that's wonderful. And is oregano easy to grow? Because I don't like basil so much as I like oregano in, like, I would add that to foods.
I mean, try it.
My mom has it.
That's your master gardener recommendation? I mean, try it. Okay.
Well, it's not hard to grow. It's just, you know, are you good at growing things? I don't know. Maybe ask Sherry to grow it for you.
Well, I could. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that.
She could put it next to the mint.
Yeah. Brittany, I've got a story here on the Up North News website about summer camp. Did you ever do summer camps as a kid?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was a Girl Scout, and then I also did the horse camps all the time. I loved horseback riding, so they'd send me away for the summer to a horse camp.
How long, when you say send you away for the summer, how long would you be gone?
It felt like the whole summer. It was probably just a couple weeks, to be honest.
Kristen, were you a camper?
Mm-mm. I mean, we'd go camping.
No, no, no. I mean the summer camp thing. Yeah, you didn't do that? Okay. Mm-mm. Parker?
Yeah, I did for a couple of summers. I was doing a tennis camp that was actually in Whitewater. So, yeah.
A tennis camp, so athletics.
Yeah.
So, we got themed camps as well. Okay, just wondering about all those. I'm going to tell folks about the web store in a minute here. But, Brittany, thank you so very much. Nice to see you again. Have a great day.
Too.
We'll see you again next hour for a little update on that forecast. So get your s'more sticks ready because summer camps are kicking off, and they're not just for kids anymore. Whether you're looking for a day trip, a cozy cabin weekend getaway, a full-on wilderness retreat, there is a camp somewhere that'll let you unplug or try something new, or just relive the best parts of growing up in Wisconsin. Some camps offer a more traditional summer camp experience with fire pits, archery targets, time on the water. Others let you tap into your creative side with arts and crafts. And so on our website, there are 6 summer camps for adults that you can check out. And again, the cost varies on this, so we're just going to give you the description only here. Let's see. There's Camp Wandawega in Elkhorn, which has Airbnb cabin rentals with camp-like amenities, fire pits, private beach, fishing pier, tennis courts, archery. There's the Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona, a one-day adult camp with games, crafts, and friendly competitions. There's the Woodland Dunes Nature Center and Preserve in Two Rivers, hosting 3 afternoon camps this summer, each with a different theme, ranging from arts and crafts to outdoor hikes. Let's pick one more here. We'll do, the Clearing Folk School in Ellison Bay, week-long camps for grown-ups with opportunities to learn quilting, wood carving, or painting while living on-site, meals included. Kristen, I'd ask if any of these appeal to you, but you do like just camping. You and Craig just take you still got the pop-up, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
I just like to be in the wilderness. But if I could just put a plug in for Camp Wandawega, apparently it is lost in time. I have friends who go there every summer, and it is this place where you go. They want to set your expectations low. There's no technology. There's none of the fancy bells and whistles. You go there and you are just camping, and it is delightful.
Oh, that actually sounds really nice. I don't know that I can really unplug like that, but
maybe you should.
Yeah,
maybe.
It would
help. It would really help.
Tony says no one else went to church camp. Is that more of an Ohio thing? Oh no, Luther Park is a big one up here. There are many religious themed camps up in northern Wisconsin, Jewish, Christian, otherwise. But Rob in Tigerton says my summers were working on the farm as a kid. And that's why when I met Sherry, and she had no interest in camping and still doesn't. She says, you have to remember, on a farm, your goal was to get indoors at the end of the day.
Yes.
Not fair. To sleep outdoors. Let's see. Alicia says, Dr. Kreitlow is welcome to harvest the mint someone planted in my garden before I bought my house.
Oh.
So she's got extra mint to share. And finally, back to Tony, who says, I like camp. Sit on my couch.
That's a good one.
It's a fine one from time to time, like when a Brewers game is on or something like that. Speaking of which, I had to work to find the Brewers games over the weekend. The Saturday night one turned out to be the national game on Fox, which was fine. But, you first go to the FanDuel Network and you see they're doing, a show about baseball trading cards or something. You're like, where's the game? And then yesterday's game, I looked on Fox. It wasn't there, not on FanDuel. Didn't see it anywhere in my TV guide. I'm like, I know this is on TV someplace. And finally looked it up. The Roku channel.
Yeah.
I just can't do this. All of the jumping around and searching things, it's just too much. It's too much effort.
It's not fun. They didn't make it as easy as it could have been.
No, not even close. But let's see. What else did? I've got from Allison Cudahy on the text line. I have an oregano plant that is at least 18 years old. It's a perennial, no care needed, easy peasy, Alice writes. So
thank you,
go.
Alice.
Yes. So maybe that's where I got to go from here.
It's a perennial. If you put it in the ground, it'll keep coming back.
I know. That's
low maintenance. That's what you like.
I do like low maintenance. There's enough high maintenance things in my life right now. So I would be just
like sports.
Yeah, there is that. Just trying to find the game. And so, of course, to do that, I had to watch a game that ended with a 1-0 score, a Manny Machado home run for the Padres. Why? Why Manny Machado? If anybody's going to beat you. But, of course, it was. And so the Padres take 2 out of 3. The Atlanta Braves come to town now for a three-game series tonight, tomorrow evening, and Wednesday afternoon. And coverage begins at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations across the network. And tune in to civicmedia.us to learn more. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is Pollinator Month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver.
It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you harassed
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just about 7:23 right now, and a reminder that you can get our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. And I was just calling that up because we were doing some Dairy Month trivia. There we go. Let's see. I did promise the answer to this question, and maybe I'll bounce this off a doctor here. Dr. Lyerly,
yes.
Can you explain why fresh cheese curds squeak when you eat them?
Because...
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
they do.
What an answer! Wow,
that's her med school answer right there. No, fresh cheese curds squeak because the elastic protein strands in the cheese rub up against the enamel of your teeth, and that makes the squeak.
And why does it only happen when they're fresh? Or
that's my question.
When they're warm, because if you put them in the microwave,
the protein strands become either less, they lose their elasticity.
Are you making this up right now?
I'm hypothesizing.
That seems
a very
right.
Scientific thing that we do here.
I believe
on radio.
It's got to be like if they're softer. Because if they're cold, you put them in the fridge, there's no squeak. They have to be soft.
They have to be, But well, the squeak that comes when they are fresh off the line, like when we pick them up at Nasonville, that little yellow shack by Curtis, you know, just before you get to Abbotsford
on Highway 29.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that squeak. And it's always fun when you've got visitors and you give them a cheese curd for the first time, and they think, I'm not going to like this. This is like it curdles up from the milk, blah, blah, blah. Just try it. They try it. It squeaks. It's got that little kind of salty, you know, taste to it, and it's just fun to watch them go, oh, this is cool. Like, yeah, right? And then the Canadians managed to improve it and turn it into poutine. What the heck, you know?
I know. Add gravy and French fries and you're good to go.
Oh, yeah. Robin Tigerton says, I get fresh cheese curds from the DuPont Cheese Factory near Marion.
Mm, I get mine from Scray Hill.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Alicia also says she keeps oregano in a pot, so she has to replant every year, as we were talking about where to get your herbs and spices, you know. Mm-hmm. We've started with mint and basil. Who knows where it's going to grow from here. So the State Democratic Convention is going to be coming up this coming weekend in Wisconsin Dells. Of course, the big thing there will be the race for chair. You've got Joe Zepecki, you've got William Garcia, and you've got Devin Remiker, who is endorsed by the outgoing chair, Ben Wickler. And I've, you know, stated on this program many times that I will be very happy with any of those three. They're all very capable, good folks. And I've been very grateful that all three have come on the show multiple times to talk about their vision for the State Democratic Party. Kristen, have you publicly expressed a favorite candidate in the race?
Yeah, I have. And I agree with you. I think they all are a great choice. But Joe Zepecki is my guy, and I've been with Joe from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that Joe was with me from the beginning. When I launched my campaign for Congress, Joe and his wife, Melissa Baldoff, who is a longtime advisor to Governor Evers, and she's been around Wisconsin politics forever, as well as Joe, who I've worked with Protect Our Care, so on some health care initiatives, they have been right there with me, by my side, cheerleaders, and that has meant so much to me. And if you're a listener of the show, you know who Joe Zepecki is. You know that he breaks things down. He communicates. He's able to help bridge a lot of the gaps that I think a lot of people are feeling in the Democratic Party right now. People are feeling like communication is a priority that hasn't been achieved, and it needs to be emphasized further than it has been with past leaders. So I think Joe's our guy.
They've been such great conversations about the needs of the State Democratic Party, because the track record has been pretty good in statewide elections. I mean, the last, you know, several Supreme Court races, you know, with the exception of Ron Johnson, there have been a lot of other good statewide outcomes. But there is absolutely, you know, nothing that can be taken for granted. You've got Democrats who are going to be pushing for a trifecta next year, hold the governor's seat, and now with fair maps, pick up the assembly and the Senate. You know, midterms typically don't go well for the party in power, which would be the Republicans. There's going to be a lot of Trump backlash in the midterms. But having said all that, I mean, whoever wins that chair's a race, you better hit the ground running. And like I said, there's not a moment for complacency.
And hit the ground running outside of Madison and Milwaukee. I think there's been a lot of emphasis in the bigger cities where you can churn turnout, sure. But in order to get people in Hayward and Wausau and Hudson to get out and vote, and that's where we need to pick up those assembly seats. So mm-hmm. that's where we need to show some love and make sure that we're communicating well, both within the party and to our neighbors and our friends. You know, democratic ideals and issues are really the things that are holding this country together right now. And I think most of us agree on a lot of those things. We want healthcare. We want education. We want to make sure that we've got safe spaces to live in and houses to live in. That's what Democrats believe in, but we're not doing a great job of getting those messages out. I think Joe's going to do that.
There's going to be all kinds of need for exactly that kind of communication to be done. And there's going to be, as well, all kinds of speculation on will he or won't he. And, of course, we're talking about Governor Evers, mm-hmm. who probably won't make any announcement at the convention, but is certainly going to have people discussing whether he runs for a third term or not. So it would be nice if he surprised everybody and said, you know what, I've decided already, and it's, you know, Then I might wish I was there, but I'll be missing it this year because I know next year is going to be such a big year, mm-hmm. and it's going to be big doings. So, by the way, in a related note, Dan Schaefer has a column about that he's going to be posting tomorrow. He'll give us just a little hint of it tomorrow morning, and then it's going to publish, and he'll have much more to say about it tomorrow afternoon when he's on the Maggie Dawn Show, working alongside his guest co-host Angela Lang. So stick around for that. Kristen, thank you. So great to see you on the Mondays, and maybe this Friday too.
Yeah, this Friday. What okay. a great way to start and end our week.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. All right. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
All right. You too.
State Senator Chris Larson is going to be joining us next year on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You make the difference. That's the title of a national initiative launched by the International Association of Fairs and Expositions, having an impact on county fairs near you. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's right, the International Association of Fairs and Expositions working to try to help uncover the value that county fairs bring to their community. Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association, says so far it's been well received in Wisconsin.
All 74 fairs of ours completed the information needed for the survey, and we turned around and offered a grant option for all of our fairs. We gave them a $1,000 grant. And they all submitted that so that they have the option to contact IFE. And if they want to purchase an economic impact study just on their fair, they could do that for $1,500. And we're, you know, covering the majority of the costs if they want to. And if not, then use it to update something else on your fairgrounds that can help you show what the economic impact is.
Jamie Butke, Executive Secretary of the Wisconsin Fairs Association. Some of the takeaways from this You Make the Difference national initiative should help county fairs when it comes to finding that next volunteer or that next fundraising effort. They'll all come back together January of 2026 and share their notes.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And young farmers in Wisconsin face unique challenges, and they wanted to share their story. Last week, 24 of our Wisconsin young farmers under the age of 35 took time away from their farming operation to share their stories. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Young Farmer and Agriculturalist event had them speaking to legislative leaders as well as USDA staff. While there, they also made a trip to the Mexican embassy to talk about trade dynamics and Mexican markets. More details on that story and others available now. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber, and we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Seems like a good time to remind you that we have a keyword for the Scani Summer Text to Win contest that's still out there that you can text to us before the end of this hour. And the word is lawn, L-A-W-N. Again, lawn, L-A-W-N is the keyword for $100. And that's this hour's prize. Plus, you're in the running for those grand prizes, a stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, some gas money to get you there. And every entry this hour and all the other hours puts you in the running for that grand prize as well as the hourly prize. Again, do that. Text it through the Civic Media app. And we'll do this again 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. And again, that's part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Brewers are taking on Atlanta in a three-game series this evening, and then again tomorrow evening, and then Wednesday afternoon. Coverage this evening begins at 6:05. That's at stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, so we are waiting on Senator Chris Larson, who's going to join us, and I know that I had another note or two I wanted to share about things that you could find on the Courier Newsroom website, because a whole lot of new shows have been posted there and newsletters. We've already mentioned Nina Burley and her newsletter, American Freak Show, about all of the laws that are hostile to women being passed in the state of Texas. We talked about Mark Jacob and his Stop the Presses newsletter and the need to focus on the consequences of what Donald Trump is doing, and not so much the circus and the antics itself, but what it means to real people. Well, there's also a new video series out by Courier Newsroom, and it's called How Is This Better? It's a Courier production with Akilah Hughes, and it covers everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. How Is This Better challenges the grifters who are controlling our government, our attention, and so much of our daily lives. And let's see, I wanted to look at some of the excerpts from the most recent one. Oh, yeah, here it is, about Mark Zuckerberg. Akilah writes, Once a hoodie-wearing coder preaching openness and connection, Mark Zuckerberg is now a gold-chain-wearing, jiu-jitsu-practicing metaverse warlord who is vibing with Trump-adjacent influencers. How did this happen? Akilah Hughes digs into Zuckerberg's transformation from the early Facebook years through his big metaverse bet and even his chicken nugget-eating macho phase. And I wish I was kidding about that, but unfortunately, I'm not. Ryan Broderick, the host of Panic World and the author of Garbage Day, and tech reporter Stephen Levy, journalist and author of Facebook The Inside Story, join Akilah to break down this evolution. As you'll notice in her new series, Akilah is always asking the question, how is this better? And wondering if Zuckerberg still cares at all about making the world more open and connected, or if he even really did. How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes is seen on YouTube. You can watch or listen on Spotify as well. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, or you can watch right from the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com. All right. 7:39 right now. And again, we're hoping to have Chris Larson here in just a bit. There've been a lot of activity among Democratic legislators introducing bills that may not necessarily pass, but again, give you the opportunity to see who's working for you, who's standing with you. And we'll also be talking on Thursday to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. She's the Senate Democratic leader. One of the packages that's out there that Senator Chris Larson and Representative Lisa Subek introduced would require firearms to be securely stored, either in a locked container or with a locking device engaged, when a child resides or is present in a home. Seems pretty common sense. The bill comes in the wake of a tragic incident that took place on May 28th in Madison, where a six-year-old child was critically injured in an accidental shooting. The child accessed an unsecured firearm that had been left unattended by an adult caregiver. Subek wrote that children need to be safe wherever they are, at home, at school, visiting a friend's house. That safety is jeopardized when firearms are left unsecured in homes when kids are present. This common sense legislation takes real and practical steps to keep children safe and prevent these tragic, entirely unavoidable situations. Firearms are, of course, sadly, the leading cause of death among children and teens in the United States. According to the group Every Town for Gun Safety, nearly 360 children unintentionally shoot themselves or others each year. That's one a day. And an estimated 4.5 million children live in homes with at least one loaded and unlocked firearm. And the least we can do is, you know, take the measures that are common sense and would guarantee children's safety. And if you can't, the consequences are there, you know, death, injury, and now legal consequences as well. So we'll have more to say about that package of bills. But there's also another package out there about trying to counter the negative impacts from the actions of President Trump and his administration. There are attempts to unlawfully defund public programs, to hold back funds that have already been approved by Congress, interfering in the civil rights of Wisconsinites, jeopardizing the privacy of some of the most vulnerable people in the state. And that all goes against the nature of what state government should do, which is the essential work of governing, providing vital benefits, funding our schools, and satisfying, you know, all the other obligations that come with solving the big problems that we have from day to day. And so that package of bills has been, again, introduced by Senator Chris Larson and several assembly representatives. And we'll be talking to Senator Larson about that and also to Senator Hesselbein coming up on Thursday. Again, all part of a session that should be focused mostly on the state budget. But unfortunately, the state budget is at a bit of an impasse right now. And apparently, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend, and again, trying to blame Governor Tony Evers for being unreasonable, I guess. Apparently, it's unreasonable to want to adequately fund our schools and fix our roads and expand broadband internet coverage to all of our families and our small businesses and schools and farms and everything else. Governor Evers made clear that, you know, he already met them halfway on their demands for tax cuts that would not go exactly the way that he would want them to go. But he understands that in a budget negotiation, you sometimes don't get everything that you want. But Republicans would not meet him in terms of, you know, the spending that's required to properly support all the things that I just mentioned. And that's pretty intentional. You know, again, we're talking about lawmakers who at best want to do the bare minimum. And many would not want to do the bare minimum. They would actually like to cut many of these essential services. They'll tell you they don't. I mean, look what's happening in Congress with Medicaid, where, again, Derek Van Orden, President Trump, all the others, they don't have the guts to say they want to cut Medicaid. I mean, Ron Johnson is at least telling you what he wants to do. He wants to take away your health care because he says government has no business doing that, even though he doesn't have any other solution for the health care crisis in this country. But you've got, you know, again, Trump and Van Orden and others saying, these are not cuts. These are not cuts. We're just reining in spending. They're cuts when they are intentionally putting in roadblocks for people to access the benefits that their tax dollars paid for. And that's exactly what's happening in this state budget as well, is legislators that would love to see cuts to public education and then take your hard-earned money and put it over into vouchers so that families wealthier than you, who might even have a lower tax rate than you, can then get some of your money to send their kids to religious schools. We're seeing that happening in more and more states, and there are people here who would like to see it happen in Wisconsin. So I give the governor points for saying, look, I'll try to meet you halfway. How about you do the same? And Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and the others in the Republican side of the legislature just aren't willing to do it. There's a new study out from the sports blog Deadspin that ranks sports fans' bucket lists. Believe it or not, Lambeau Field is on that list, but only at number five, Parker.
Five?
Ahead of that is, let's see, there's Madison Square Garden in New York.
Okay, yeah.
There's Yankee Stadium in New York.
Sure.
There's Fenway Park in Boston. Yeah. And there's Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Okay, I have heard very mixed reviews of Wrigley Field.
I have been to Wrigley Field and to Fenway Park. They both have this thing in common. They were both built in 1912.
Yeah.
Which means they also have this thing in common. They look and feel like a park, a ballpark.
Built in 1912.
Built in 1912. You know,
yeah.
try as they might, you know, you can't. I'm not saying that everything has to have that new stadium smell, but that old stadium smell, that's
getting old.
Something I can do without. Let's pop Jimmy Costa up early since we're getting into this. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Doing great. How's it going, guys?
Well, good. I don't know if you heard us talking about it or not, but Deadspin ranking Lambeau Field as fifth on the top on the list of bucket list experiences for American sports fans after Wrigley, Fenway, Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden. Having been to most of those, I mean, the bucket list clearly must have been designed by, or they ask people who haven't been to these things, and they say, what would you like to go to that you haven't been to yet? Because I think if it was people who'd been to all these, don't you think that list would look a little different?
I think it would. I think with all the recent updates that Lambeau Field has had, it's become much more of an experience for people. I think the Packers have been really smart in recognizing that the experience of Lambeau is pretty unique to a stadium experience just anywhere in the country. With all the history, with everything that's happened there, they've been really, really smart to capitalize on that. There's a lot more in the way of access to like historical things. It's a much more family friendly sort of tour that you get. I really think Lambeau should be at the top of the list. I just think that's a destination for people. It's a big reason why we got the draft here this year. So
yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that, Jimmy. And I want to talk to you in just a little bit about some of the high school postseason stuff that's going up. And the Packers have parted ways with a player that we want to talk about as well. So, Jimmy, you stand by. And then I want to bring up Senator Larson just long enough to apologize to him. I didn't get a proper link to him in time to come join us for this morning's show. Senator, I apologize about that. And I've only got a minute left in this segment. But I did want to get you on long enough to say why you've introduced these recent packages that you have about the Trump administration and things like that.
Yeah, happy to be on. It's officially Monday morning. No worries about it, Pat. but essentially, the main reason we're putting these out there is there's a recognition by legislators. And I think sometimes we get phone calls and definitely getting people coming up to us in the public saying, hey, what are you doing about the stuff that's happening federally? What's happening with the Trump administration? And responding in kind. So they've threatened a lot of different sources of funds that are used for grants. They've threatened the universities. They've threatened K-12 public education. if they refuse to abide by whatever it is, whatever made up standard they've got.
And so somebody's,
this is a way for us to push back on that.
Exactly. And so some of our stations are going to cut away for a local update. Others will stick around here. We'll spend a couple of more minutes with Senator Larson. Then we'll bring Jimmy Koska back in as well. But for others, you've got a local news break coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
In our next hour, we will be talking about the building trades and apprenticeships and continuing to grow those so that we can address the labor shortage in Wisconsin. State Senator Chris Larson is kind enough to stick around for a couple of moments here to talk about a package of bills meant to push back against things the Trump administration is doing. We have mentioned this package last week on the show about withholding state payments to the federal government if the federal government withholds state funding, imposing liens on federal property in response to those freezes. But there's also one that puts some guardrails on how Wisconsin submits personal information to the federal government. And Chris, I think we see what Elon Musk has been doing, getting into all the most personal databases the government has. And you and other Democrats saying that, you know, the state should not be accessories to that.
Right. Yeah. There's a, I mean, this is all part of a protecting Wisconsin package that has a number of different bills. You outlined a few of them of just making sure that there is some state level of recourse to make sure that, that, you know, all the stuff that's happening nationally, which in many cases is unconstitutional. It should not be allowed. Yes, it's true that the Trump administration is asking for it. Of turning things over, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be doing that. And this, as much as Wisconsin may feel alone in this, recognizing that other states are also getting the same level of bullying. And of course, if you give in to a bully, they're going to just keep on pushing and asking for more. So luckily, we have a good attorney general and a governor who's been pushing back along with other states' attorneys general. But in the meantime, from a legislative perspective, I think there's a real worry, especially as we're getting in the closing days of the budget, that the federal government under Trump is not going to pay his bills, and we will be stuck. So we have to have some level of recourse for that to make sure people don't feel extorted into following along with his very narrow view of how the world should work.
And then tell us briefly about the package of bills, the equality agenda, that stand up for protections for LGBTQ members of the community, and the reason why you thought it was important to introduce those kinds of bills.
Yeah, well, it is Pride Month in Wisconsin. We just had the Pride Parade yesterday, although it rained a little bit on it. You know, but you can't have, you have to have rain to be able to get a rainbow. So I thought it was pretty appropriate that everyone was still shining and getting through. There continues to be an attack on the LGBTQ community in the state and federally. So a lot of these gains that have come through, I think it's important to make sure that we galvanize at the state level. And so we Democrats are leading on that. It is still, unfortunately, in some cases, it's bipartisan, at least in outside of the Capitol, but inside the Capitol, it still continues to be a partisan thing ever since, you know, they put forward the constitutional amendment banning marriage between anyone other than a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman, that now we have those rights in the state of Wisconsin due to the Supreme Court. We still have to expand those to make sure that we have those rights within the state, too.
All right. Senator Chris Larson, again, thank you for a quick visit with us, and we'll look forward to catching up as hopefully these budget negotiations get back on track as well. Thanks for your time. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. All right. Let's bring Jimmy Koska in just to talk a bit about weekend sports. What's this headline I'm seeing? The Packers have parted ways with a familiar name here.
Yep. Jair Alexander will be released by the Packers. They just could not come to terms with a contract adjustment. They tried to trade him earlier this offseason. Over $17 million on this contract. No other team wanted to pay it. Packers got to do the one thing they want to do if they want to move on from him. And so Jair Alexander will be released by the Packers. That's according to multiple sources this morning.
Okay. And I start with there because I don't want to. I don't want to go back to Manny Machado being the only one who scored a run for the Padres, and the Padres take 2 or 3 from the Brewers. It was not an easy weekend, especially with you know, runners in scoring position for the Brewers.
Yeah, you know, and this is kind of the thing. Last week we were talking about, you know, the Brewers were finding the bats. They were putting together some wins, getting themselves back into contention. But the Brewers have been a 500 team ish this entire season. So you're going to see a couple steps forward, a couple steps back all year. I think the biggest thing for them is that they're trying to get their pitching healthy, and they've had some flashes of that happening. But until that all kind of comes together, I think it's going to be that one step forward, one step back, at least for the foreseeable future.
Well, and the thing is, they have been on a tear lately, but so have the Cubs. And so they have not been able to catch up with them at all. And then finally, you have were you at the state track and field tournament this weekend?
Yep, I was at state track and field meet to support some of the student athletes in the school I'm at. But it is one of the uniquely cool state events to go to. Much like individual wrestling, you've got dozens, hundreds of schools at an event, so you've got all these different communities coming together for a state event, and it just sets up really well. UW Lacrosse is a tremendous host for this. When you've got 20,000 or so fans in a place with all the people standing around the fence, then the grandstand's completely packed both days. It's a really cool event. 25 state records fell this weekend. They crowned 118 event champions and 8 team champions. Really, really cool event for the WIAA.
And then I don't know about the weather here, but the boys' golf championships are supposed to be happening today and tomorrow at University Ridge.
Yep, University Ridge is a great course. The rain, we also had rain at State Track, so it's happening everywhere. But yep. it should still set up pretty well. University Ridge is a pretty good course for handling that kind of weather.
Okay. And boys tennis championships were held this past Saturday in Madison as well. And then you wanted to note that the all-time winningest high school basketball coach in the state recently passed away.
Yeah, Jerry Pettigrew of Cuba City passed away over the weekend. His son made the announcement on social media over the weekend. He was a member of the WBCA, the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association, executive board. There's been tributes that have come out from lots of people involved in high school sports, as well as Wisconsin Badgers head coach Greg Gard, but truly a legend among legends in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to basketball. It's sad news all the way around, and Pettigrew is certainly a figure, a force to be reckoned with in the state of Wisconsin in high school hoops.
All right. Jimmy, thank you for rolling with the punches here. Good to get the weekend recap from you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to you a little later. Now, coming up the start of the next hour, John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above Lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Los Angeles facing 3 days of clashes with protesters and demonstrations against ICE immigration raids. ABC's Matt Gutman was in downtown for the unrest.
Just moments ago, there's some projectiles being thrown. Just moments ago, a motorcycle seemed to try to break through the police skirmish line. And now you can hear all those flashbangs going off. Police are strawing to push those protesters back.
Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom both saying they did not request the National Guard. It was the first time since 1965 the National Guard was deployed by a president against the wishes of a governor. Scores of scientists have signed a letter called the Bethesda Declaration, challenging Trump policies they say are meant to undermine National Institutes of Health missions, waste public resources, and harm the health of Americans and people around the globe. Warner Brothers and Discovery announcing this morning they will be splitting off into two public companies by next year. This is ABC News.